This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 6:06 or so in the evening, and you're with Lynn and Ayman on the evening edition. So today is our very first Q&A of the year. If you need a refresher, it's the show where you get a chance to call in and ask our guests questions about particular topics. Today, that topic is about road safety and child seats. I think it's something that's on a lot of people's minds. Lots of people are travelling. We also just saw the release of the Opselamat numbers. And yesterday, actually, we also had a pretty vibrant discussion on drunk driving.
So we're going to continue that conversation today with Wong Yao Duen, who is the Deputy Director General from the Road Safety Department of Malaysia. If you have any questions, you can always call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187-89-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Wong, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Ayman, and thank you, Lynn, for having me here to discuss about this Child Resistance System, CRS or CRS. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. So I just want to make sure that we get things right first. Right? We just want to make sure we get it right. So can you tell us the role of the Road Safety Department of Malaysia?
Well, basically, this Road Safety Department of JKJR, Jabatan Keselamatan Jalan Raya, was established back in 15 September 2004. It's about 16 years ago, almost 16 years ago. So the main job functions of JKJR is basically on the advocacy and also the campaign on road safety. But lately, we try to put a new objective, job description into our departments. There is namely education. We also provide, establish a curriculum on road safety education, especially in the primary school, and also this year we are expanding to lower secondary school and also preschool and kindergarten as well. And also we also have another new job function. It's a new initiative. There is an intervention program. It's one of the popular intervention program that we have. Starting implemented last year, My Safe Road program. It's basically My Safe Road program, we call it, is basically we have a coordination between all the relevant agencies to look up in relevant black spot. It's based on the G40 provided by the Royal Malaysian Police and also by the worst departments, or JKR, we call it. So basically, we will coordinate with all these authority and as well as local government, depends on which road they are, or federal or local council road. So basically, we will work up how to actually make the road safer. Sometimes put an infrastructure on it, or whether put more signage and so forth. That is basically the main core job function of our department.
So, you know, as you said, there's a lot of education involved. And with that in mind, we talk about this quite a lot. If you wanted to communicate, I suppose, one thing to Malaysian road users, if there was really one thing that you wanted them to remember, what would that be?
Well, the basically is go along with our check line. Drive safely, arrive safely. That is one of our tagline. We we encourage all our Malaysian drivers to put safe first and make sure you reach on your destinations and put other things on site. That is one of the most important thing. That is one of the finest education we want to put into all the Malaysian drivers, the attitude.
And what do you think are the main challenges when it comes to road safety right now?
Well, basically, in Malaysia, even though we do numerous campaigns, thousands of campaigns, and also we already put the road safety education in place, whether in primary school, and it's actually to change the mindset of the peoples. the Malaysian, the Malaysians. You can see, for examples, when you see the drivers come from our neighbors, for example, Singapore, they are actually Malaysian. But when they were driving in Singapore, they would behave really well and follow all the regulations stated. When they come back, when they reach the checkpoint, reach Malaysia, the attitude is totally changed. So basically, also based on the research, as my Ross research, Malaysian Institute of Road Safety Research, almost 80% the road accident is caused by our attitude. That is one of the main contributions.
Mm. Yeah. So I suppose in line with that then, and also looking at your main role, what are some of those big gaps in road safety education? There are all these campaigns. There's always been this push. You see billboards, you see things by the police. So with all these efforts in place, what are the remaining gaps when it comes to education?
Well, I think that is a very good question, I see. So basically, we have all the basic curriculum. We already have a developed road safety education. It's basically this road safety education in school, whether in primary or secondary school, is already taken in place more than 10 years ago. But in 2016, we have a revised edition. This revised edition is basically developed based on the Malaysian education system. Mm-hmm. All the scholar and all the expertise come from the education department and also the departments of road safety and also Royal Malaysian Police, as well as our own department itself. We are together on one table, developed this new curriculum based on our education system. So that is already in place. Maybe if I can show the picture or how the curriculum looks like, maybe I can show. But now I just basically explain. Basically, for example, in primary school education, we basically talk primary school children about the signage, the simple pictorial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pictorial. I mean, the very basic features about the road safety. And then when you go to secondary level, then it's more detailed. Maybe you can't use a handphone, or sometimes you cannot use certain equipment when you are driving and so forth. And then how to maintain your vehicles in that sense when you go to primary the secondary level. There is also preparations for you to attend the session in the driving school, so that you can able to get a valid driving license. Yeah.
We're speaking today with Wong Yao Duan, who is the Deputy Director General at the Road Safety Department of Malaysia. We're discussing, of course, road safety education, and we are also shortly going to be talking about child car seats. If you have any questions, you can call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So on the line right now, we have Mukta. Mukta, good evening. Do you have any questions for Wong?
Yeah, good evening to you. I have also a question for Mr. Wong.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Mota.
Two observations. Yeah. On the highway, we see people, regardless of driving my BM truck or whatever, they change lanes without giving any signal. And one observation, they tailgate and flashlight. I have never seen the JPJ showing any seminars to educate people or what kind of punishment for this kind of action. Then one more thing, do the JPJ have any statistics of the way the four-wheel trucks drive on the road, on the number of accidents they are involved in? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mukta. Thank you so much for those questions. So I guess to start with, there's the issue of tailgating as well as changing lanes without
indicating. Using your signal, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the question from Mukta was both whether are there laws against that as well as how we educating people about that. Yeah, Wong?
Yeah, basically it's on the, I mean, the changing lanes. I mean, the drivers, basically, they should, it's mandatory to give a signal. Basically, to give it a signal is basically, it's a way of communication when you're driving on the road. If, let's say, you are didn't given signals, it's basically is one of the offense that can cause the accidents. If we have a proof, whether we're caught by CCTV or certain materials that we can have a proof, mm-hmm. you can be, the driver can be charged. I mean, can be given a summons. Yeah.
And on the subject of education in that area, like you said, right, it's kind of something that we are taught from the moment that we learn how to drive, the importance of signaling, the fact that we shouldn't tailgate. And yet, of course, we see these behaviors on the highway all the time. So from an education point of view, what can be done to get these behaviors more normalized?
Yeah, basically, sir, we can see the trend under the statistic. So basically, sir, from 2010 to 2009, there is a slight increase. Decreasing of the accident case, fatal accident case. This shows that our education when we start in the late 2000s is already start bearing fruits, and then the education, road safety education, is a very long process. It's not a one day. We cannot see in the short terms. Because with our new syllabus or new curriculum, revised road safety education, we just started last year from the primary school. We hope that these new batches of students, when they grow up, and then when they have a big capability to get a valid driving license, they can behave well. They can change the Malaysian driving, behavior, attitudes. I think that is our hope. I mean, that is our belief also, that education can gradually change the attitude. But truth, it is not a very. We cannot change it in the short term, but in a long term process. Yeah.
And lastly, I think there was a question there about statistics when it comes to
trucks and lorries. Yeah.
Yes, whether there are statistics gathered in terms of accidents that involve those vehicles.
Yeah, we do have, but I don't have this. I have to browse through the statistic in hand. It's even.
Yes, Wong has notes, but I think it's not.
It's not. If you can give us, the contact, email, we can give certain. Basically, these statistics we can browse online in our JKJR website, www.jkjr.gov.my. There is a breakdown of, the accident case involve different modes of transport. Whether it's the normal sedan car, the heavy vehicle, lorry, and so on. I think most probably, Mr. Mota, you can actually find it on our website. It's basically my booklet with me, the statistic booklet with me. Probably you can't see, but basically we can download it from our website.
Okay.
It's already provided.
We also have another caller on the line with us asking about child seats, and that is Ui Ing Hong. Good evening. What's your question?
Good evening, Mr. Wong.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, Mr.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too.
I must congratulate MOT or your department that put brave enough to introduce child car seats.
Yeah.
I understand the law has actually been passed back to 2015,
if I'm not mistaken,
am I right to say that?
Basically, it's on the child seats. Basically, the laws is only passed last year. It's come to enforce from 1st January this year.
Okay. My question is that, because I own one particular car, which does not come with the 3-point car seatbelt.
Yep.
And it's a brand new car.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not sure whether you know that particular brand, which I think a lot of people are having problem with that issue.
Yep.
I think I should go ahead and mention the name of the car. which is Hyundai Starex.
Yeah, yeah.
My question is that why, in particular, I mean, I'm not sure whether you're able to answer my question now. Why, in particular, JPJ is allowed or able to approve the car to be on the road, on their hand, when the government want to implement CRS?
Yeah.
Wei, thank you very much for your question. Wong?
Thank you, this Mr. Wei, for this question. Basically, we also anticipate this Hyundai Starlet. And they basically, at this point of time, I can't really imagine how many seater in the Starlet. I think maybe about 10 seaters. Basically, it's a big car, maybe... I can't remember the exact numbers of six, maybe more than seven. That's actually exempted from installing any child car six. That is actually under the type approval from JPJ. So basically, it's come in line with this. There is a certain situation where children in vehicles may not be allowed to use CRS or child resistance system. Namely, no passenger seat is available for the use of appropriate CRS. And I can say Hyundai Starlet is for under this category. And then no passenger seat is enabled proper and safe installation of CRS. And this Hyundai also fall under this category.
Right.
Yeah. And then also there is no appropriate type of CRS for children to use in the existing passenger seats. Basically, it's our Malaysian cars, those cars imported into Malaysia, they are using UN R29 and Regulation 44 and UN Regulation 129. So basically, those cars come with that, they follow the regulations, they can ever to install the CRS. All right. But I can foresee some certain cars, they need a CRS from US. But for the time being, our Malaysian law system is only accept these two, the UN approved R44 and R129. Okay. And then another thing is the child has been certified by registered medical practitioner as unsafe in health to use CRS. That is also, exempted for using CRS. But basically, Hyundai Starlet is is for under the first three category that spoken earlier.
Okay. We also have a question from Anil, who says, when are we going to make it mandatory for seatbelts in lorries and trucks and buses? Do we need more fatalities among drivers and passengers in these vehicles before we react? The question here, I think, is really about seatbelts in lorries and trucks and buses.
All right. Basically, the seatbelt for commercial vehicles, that is including buses and lorries, is already mandatory by this year, 1st January 2020. So it's already put in place. But for the first 6 months, we were mostly probably on education part. And then after the 6 months, we will be full enforcement on this matter. And it's already in place. The law is already in place. All right.
So we just have a couple of more questions from KW saying, what is the government going to do with bikes using car lanes on the federal highway? It seems that there is no enforcement. Also, road conditions of federal highway is so bad. Who is managing it?
Well, basically, thank you, Ivan, for that question. Basically, this is sometimes quite a tricky question, I would say. This is very subjective. It's a bike. Kapchai, we call it, the small bike.
Yeah.
It's not allowed in the highway. I don't know whether this federal highway is for under this category. For example, Plus, it's definitely not allowed. The small bike. For those motorcycles above 500 cc, is allowable. they cannot use the normal motorcycle lengths in the federal highway. But basically, small bike are not allowed in the highway.
So I suppose...
I supposed to be the federal highway is for under this category. And then they should use the motorcycle length in the federal highway. We do have a very good infrastructure. I mean, the motorcycle length in federal highway. But unfortunately, nowadays, the maintenance is... it's not really a conducive for army motorcycle to use. We already addressed it to this roads department. Roads department, because the federal highway is under the jurisdiction of the roads department or JKR, the federal roads department. So they are actually basically maintain the road, basically under. As well as the motorcycle lanes.
Yeah. We're speaking today with Wong Yao Duan, who is the Deputy Director General of the Road Safety Department of Malaysia. Again, if you have questions, do send them our way. That number is 7733-2900 to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We could start with a question from a listener, YSW, who says that essentially... it looks as if mortality rates from road accidents, according to statistics, mortality rate from road accidents went down while other diseases showed an increase. Would like to know from Mr. Wong, what are the top reasons for this decrease in mortality rates from road accidents?
Well, basically, thank you, Ling, for the questions. I would say one of the contribution is our road safety educations when we introduced in school in the late 2000s, it already starting bearing fruits. In fact, we just started our revised road safety education last year in primary school, and this year we were starting up in the lower secondary school and also preschool and kindergarten as well. And then this is starting to bear fruit, I would say. You can see the statistic is gradually, decreased from 2010 to 2019. Last year, we have 2010 is 6872 death. Total death is decreased gradually to this year 6167. So from that 10 years period of time, so we see about almost 700. Yeah, hopefully they will be more decreasing
as time goes on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about the kind of efforts that have been taking right to improve road safety. We've talked a lot about education. We've touched a bit on the laws and legislations that exist. So in your opinion, what have you found works the most, been the most effective in terms of improving road safety? Is it education? Is it having heavier penalties? Is it providing guidance? Which do you think is the most effective way of doing it?
Well, I would say, as I spoken before, behavior is one of the most culprit of accident cases among the Malaysians. I would say just now I give an example of when the Malaysians were driving in Singapore and come back to nearby. I would come back, the behavior is totally changed. Well, basically, it's road safety is basically everybody's responsibility. It's not my department's responsibility. It's not our responsibility as well, but everybody. So everybody play a role in the, developing a more safe road in Malaysia, basically. Whether we can improve, the road condition of the road, that is less than 10% of the, contribution to the, of accident cases.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, in that case, the infrastructure factors, we can make an improvement through the government's collaboration with other agencies such as work departments and also other enforcement agencies. But basically, behavior is everybody's responsibility. Everybody have to change their behavior. They should be cultivate more tolerant on the road. You can see some of the Malaysian drivers when they're rushing. They are very fierce. When you see in the office, when you see them in the office, they are very courteous. They're very polite. But when on the road, they become another person. You become devil. Yeah.
You know, there is this question that's come through from a few different listeners, but I'll just kind of let Wong represent the charge here because we have a Wong who wants to know, why are slow cars allowed to hog the middle lane of a three-lane highway? Slow cars should stay on the left lane. They are causing traffic jams. And that feeds into, I guess, questions that people have about the speed limit and how slow drivers also can sometimes be as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than, you know, fast drivers. Is this also part of road education?
Yeah, basically, sir. Is it? We also have it in the curriculum, basically. Basically, so when you are driving, for example, the speed limit is 70. Okay. When you're driving, maybe slower, then you should drive in on the left side. That's on the slower lane, but not on the emergency lane, please. And then for those who are driving maybe on the medium speed, they should drive on the middle lanes. For those, highway, they have a three lanes. Yeah. And then those on the high speed, they want to do undertaking, they can take any on the high, the more right lanes, basically. But basically, we educated people to drive patiently, slowly. But not too slow wings that cause, the traffic jam and all this. We should able to judge whether how much we should drive safely, follow closely. I think that is actually embedded in our road safety education. Mm-hmm. We should follow how many meters, and then what is the speed limit that we have to follow according to this roads speed limit that we have. Some federal roads, they have 80, some have 90, and highway, they have 110. So should follow that. Of course, when you are in highways, the speed limit is 110, but you drive 40, somewhere in the most right lane, it will cause accidents sometimes.
Yeah.
Because some of the people, they cannot, gauge the distance, you know. When they are on high speed, they are very hard to gauge the distance, especially where the distance are very near. They hardly can avoid. Then this will cause an accident anyway.
So let's talk about child car seats. There's been a higher enforcement for mandatory car seats, and this is has kick-started since January. Although the minister has announced that there won't be a penalty for the first 6 months. So has the department witnessed an increase in the use of child car seats so far?
Well, from our campaign on site, when we do a campaign, I can see there is more awareness. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the statistic in hand right now at this point of time. But I can see there is an increase of using. And then they are more willing to buy a car seat for the safety of the children. When we do a campaign along the country, across the country, basically JKGI, we have branches all the countries. And then we every week, we should have one program, the campaign. So from our campaign, we can see a slight, increase of the usage of CRS. But statistically, I unfortunately cannot provide at this point of time. I can see is the awareness is there.
And along with child seats, we're also seeing enforcement on rear seat belts. Have you noticed any difference or uptick in that? Because that's, of course, also been a very long push throughout to get more people to wear their seat belts.
Yeah, basically, the rear seat belt is basically already enforced more than 10 years ago. It basically, previously, we can actually summons them. And then there are some drivers being summoned because of they didn't wear the rear seat belt. Basically, the law is already being enforced. The only thing the enforcement agencies such as Royal Malaysian Police and JPJ or Transport Department are not strictly enforcing. Mm-hmm. But this year, there is no compromise. When we see you using a rear seat belt, we will summon all those. There is no, the education part of it because we have really given enough grace period. And then from this we also made ourselves as actually we also started in the government sector as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, the high ranking officers, then we also met them to be to wear most of the, I mean, the high ranking officials, even the government side, they don't wear seatbelt, as is the bosses. So we now try to educate them to wear the real seatbelt for the safety, basically. And then for our initiative, they started to become, ambassador to all the public. They also wear the seatbelt. Sometimes they tweet on the Facebook, and it's increased the awareness of wearing a seatbelt. Yeah. Actually, basically, we should become examples.
Mm-hmm.
If our government officers, we didn't wear a seatbelt, especially the bosses, some more the public, they would say this is, even the bosses also don't want to wear the seatbelt. Why? We want to, but this is basically when we do a campaign and promotion, basically this is for the onset. If you don't wear a seatbelt, when the accident occurred, you will be thrown out from the drive. I mean, the vehicle itself.
Yeah.
There's a few cases, one in Rawan, you can see recently. Or the passengers thrown up from the, this caused fatal.
So one last question. I just want to know what are some immediate steps that we should take right now if we want to become better drivers?
Well, as I said before, it's starting from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, starting from myself. We should become more patient when you're driving on the road and be focused when you're driving. And then make sure when we want to overtake or how is it, we can gauge the distance rightly and try to overtake safely. It's also in line with drive safely.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you arrive your destination safely. Yeah.
Wong, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Wong Yao Duan, who is the Deputy Director General at the Road Safety Department of Malaysia, addressing some questions on the subject, particularly of road safety education. If you have any thoughts, do send them in. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.